We will start back this week with the series, Not I, But Christ. This is week 18, I want to say, and we're just in awe of what God's been doing. We've had a mini-series within Not I, But Christ called Next Steps, that is Not I, But Christ, and what is your next steps if you're following Christ? And wow, what God has done in the past several weeks. I sat this week and counted. There's been 7 or 8 people that are just saved in the last few weeks. There was 18 people that were baptized. 20 of you becoming members of our church or owners of our church. We like owners better than members because members have rights and owners have responsibilities. And so we're very much appreciative that over 20 people have become owners of our church. And I know that many of you are still praying. We talk to you weekly about what your next step is. And some of you still need to take those steps. And we're very thankful that you're considering that. And so we have given you 4 next steps. Do we have the chart? Is the chart available? Yes. With that, as you look, we started with salvation, which is repentance. You're going to change direction. You're going to take a new step and follow Christ. There's going to be a fruit change in your life, and we explained that. Second, we talked about the Lord, as Christ becomes Lord of your life, and which He's Lord of your life, whether you consider it or not, but you're going to be obedient to the Holy Spirit that comes to live inside of you, and you're going to follow in baptism, and then you'll be here whenever we take the Lord's Supper and have communion. And then, wow, Michael did a great job. I listened to the eternal security and assurance. Let me say something right there. If you do not have the security and the assurance that if you died right now, you trusted Christ sometime, and you asked Jesus to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins, and you're not secure in the fact that heaven's your home, and you're sure of that. John said in 1 John 5:13, "These things have I written unto you that you may know." He didn't say, "Hope so, I wish I could, I think you might, maybe someday you'll get there." He said that you can know that you have eternal life. And if you're not assured, you need to see someone here before you leave this morning, because that is a big part of next steps. It's a big part. And it is actually what lets you flourish as a Christian, is to know that heaven's your home, that your security doesn't depend on you. It depends on what Christ did on the cross. And so it's a big deal. Michael did a great job with that. And then ownership. Becoming an owner of the local church and getting involved, because owners have responsibilities. This church, as it grows and gets to whatever God blesses us, as we build a sanctuary next door that will house 2,000 people, you say, "Oh my goodness, you're crazy." No, I'm not. I can see it happening. And we can see what God will do here someday in the history of this church. Nobody thought 4 years ago when we had 162 on Easter that we'd have 227 this year either. And nobody thought that we'd have 169 in a normal Sunday morning service that was here this week and last week. God is doing a work here, and as long as it's not I but Christ, we're going to celebrate what God is doing. With that said, as you become an owner and you get involved, today's next step is learning to get involved and serving. We believe that saved people serve people. We believe that saved people serve people. We believe that saved people serve people. Because that is in essence what Christianity is all about, is saved people serving people. And so week 5 of Next Steps, Not I But Christ, is becoming an owner so that you serve people. And the Bible teaches that saved people serve people. And God, when describing Christ in Isaiah chapter 42 in verse 1 as a prelude to Christ, the Messiah coming. I want you to notice what he said. Behold my servant. He didn't call, behold my king. He didn't say, behold the Prince of Peace. And he didn't say, he could have put any other word there to Isaiah. He said, behold my servant whom I uphold, and my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him, and I will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He called Christ a servant. The Messiah to come was a servant. And when Jesus, he had the 12 disciples, and they were arguing, his three inner circle, they were arguing with Christ on a road one day. They were taking a trip. And these aren't fairy tales. These are actual events that happened that are recorded in the Bible. And these three, Peter, James, and John, was arguing over who's going to be the greatest in heaven. I hear that. We hear that sometimes. Who's going to be the biggest shot at Big Branch? Let me show you what Christ said about who's going to be the greatest. She's going to get it for us. But he who is greatest among you, whoopee, what's that mean? Shall be your servant. A servant. Save people, serve people. And again, when rebuking the self-righteous religious leaders, all the church people had gathered together. They were all standing. Christ had their ear and the opportunity to speak to them and preach to these religious Jews, these self-righteous religious leaders of his day. In Matthew 23:11, Christ made this statement. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. You want to rise to the top? You want to be the cream of the crop? You want to be somebody? Save people, serve people. Save people, serve people. And I'm going to be completely honest this morning, just as totally transparent as I can be. There are some things in the Bible that I have a hard time with. And I know somebody grabbed your mouth and gasped and said, oh my, I can't believe he said that from the pulpit. Follow me around. I'll give you a whole lot more that'll disappoint you if that disappoints you about me this morning. But let me say this. I don't have a halo, by the way, and I don't have wings because it's not about Christ. It's not about I. It is about Christ. It's not about I. It's about Christ. And so with that said, you sit here and you say, well, I don't have any problem with the Bible. I believe every ounce of it, and it's all, I know it's one. You'll understand in a minute, and that's okay, Jesus. Teach me how to walk on water someday. I'll come and ask you later if you're perfect. But the fact of the matter is, there's some things I have a hard time with. And, for instance, in Luke 9:23, Jesus was making a statement to his disciples. And in that statement, then he said to them, if anyone desires to come after me, I would say that most Christians desire to come after Jesus. They want to be a follower. They want to be true blue. They want to be sincere. He said, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. Daily, and follow me. Now, you see, I have trouble with that. And the reason I have trouble with that is because I want to follow and I want to be a disciple and I want to be true blue and I want folks to see Jesus in me, but I don't want to deny myself. I have to be honest. I'm just a little bit selfish. Linda laughed. I'm just a little bit selfish. And the fact of the matter is, you know what I know about you, and you gasped again because you think I'm going to betray your confidentiality. But I know that everyone in this room is selfish too. You're selfish. And we have it, it's you don't have to teach your kids whenever they're little to, when other children come into their playroom, to grab all their toys and hold them, even though they can't play with all of them that they're holding at the same time. You're selfish. It's our nature. It's part of our sinful nature that we inherited. And that is why this next step that I'm going to talk to you about this morning, that it's very countercultural. It's very much in opposition to mainstream America. And I'm going to tell you even more than that, it's very much in opposition to mainstream Christianity. You say, wow. Yes, wow, it is. Our country, our churches, our Christians, our followers in general, people that want to be a disciple, have turned Christianity and following Jesus and their life as a whole into, it's all about me. It's all about me. If you want to come in here, you got to believe what we believe. You got to sing what we want you to sing. We've got to do what you want you want us to do. And you got to look like us, because it's all about me. It's all about me. I want it to be this way. And my life is all about me. My job is all about me. My occupation, my wife is all about what I want. My husband is all about what I want. Everything that we think about, my home, my Christianity, my children, my cars, it's my toys, it's my hobbies, it's my, and at church it becomes about, it's my parking spot, it's my seat, it's where I always am at, it's my style of worship, it's my favorite song, it's my time to preach. It's my time to sing. And we can go on and on and on. It's about my position in the church. It's about my child that I want to lead in be called upon to lead in the classroom. It's about my classroom. It's about my, I. And we make it all about me. It's about what I believe. It's about what I want to take place at church. It's about what I think is best. And most of us are very selfish when it comes to that. Let me say something to that, just scriptural, give you. First of all, you're not your own. You're bought with a price, according to 1 Corinthians 6:20. And it's not all about you. It's all about Christ, not I. And one of the things that is revolutionizing our church, and I believe the fact that we're seeing and being able to celebrate what's taking place, if we're taking the focus off of I and my and putting the focus on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I just, as plain and simple truth is, everyone in this room needs to die to self. All of us, starting right here on this stage, every one of us needs to die to self. And I look at that passage in Galatians 2:20, and I'm going to have her put it up. And I have to look at that and see what Paul said. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but I have trouble with that. I struggle. I don't like that. I would much rather him say, I was massaged with Christ. Crucified? Really? I'm crucified with Christ. I find that hard. The plain and simple truth is we all need to be crucified daily. Our desires, our thoughts, our processes. The pastor needs to die to self. The assistant pastor needs to die to self. The worship leader needs to die to self. The board members in this church need to die to self. The trustees, the deacons, the teachers, the facilitators, the singers, every single person in this room under the sound of my voice this morning needs to die to self. Husbands, needs to die to self. Wives, needs to die to self. Moms, needs to die to self. Business leaders, politicians, needs to die to self. How many marriages could be saved if families would die to self and put God and His principles first and get crucified daily? You think about that. And if we would just die to self, Christ in that verse in Luke said daily. You want to know why He said daily? Because you forget the next day, I need to die to self. Because it's all about me. It's I. And it needs to be not I, but Christ. What's God's will for my life? What's God's will for my occupation? Those of you graduating from high school, you should not be just seeking any occupation that you want and planning college around something you want. You need to be planning it around what God wants for your life. And realizing that your occupation can be a mission field and a ministry, and it's more than that about the money. Money's going to pass. I can tell you, I don't know very many people that have a whole lot of money that are very happy. Because the way they got it, and hoarding it, and spending it, and the only difference is they have more bills. And most people think that, well, no, it's not about I. It's about Christ. And we as individuals have got to get to the place and that we have to fight the not about me syndrome. Because it's about save people, serve people. And we have to do it on a daily basis. Daily. We have to do it. And because of our sinful nature to be selfish and overindulgent, and we're proud and we're an egotistical, that is what society teaches. Society and our culture, it promotes ego. It promotes proud. It promotes overindulgent. It promotes being selfish. Our culture says this is good. But I can tell you that's not what this Bible teaches. If it was good enough for the Messiah to be a servant, then Christians ought to be a servant. And you can say, oh, amen or oh me, but that's the truth of the matter. We have got to become a group of people, a group of followers of Christ, that if we're going to emulate Christ, we're going to save people, serve people. And now if you're here this morning and you're not an owner of this church and you're not a follower of Jesus, I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to those people in this room this morning that are a part of Big Branch Church. We have to die to self. We have to die to our own wants and wishes. And what does Christ want? What is involved in that? Because my desires are not the same as what Christ wants sometimes. I'm truthful. I struggle dying to self. He said, no longer I have been crucified. And when you look at that no longer I in that passage in Galatians, and you look at it from a point, and he says, I have been crucified. You know what the cross is really a symbol of? Obviously, dying. But it's a point of sacrifice. It's a point of sacrifice. The cross is a symbol of sacrifice. Christ was our sacrificial lamb. He was our sacrificial, took our place on the cross so that we don't have to pay for our sins. He paid for our sins. And so when you look at it as the cross being a symbol of sacrifice, and then when we are admonished to pick up our cross, it is a symbol of self-sacrifice. We are to be sacrificial as Christians. I know what the cross is. It's a piece of jewelry you wear around your neck. Are you a fool in any other area? I'm not opposed to the jewelry. It's pretty and it's nice. And I've got a little ring that I wear that we got when we was in Israel that says, I am my beloved and my beloved is his on Hebrew. I can't read it, but it's what they told me it said. It could say anything and I wouldn't know the difference. All I know is they sucked me and Linda out of some money while we was there. But the fact of the matter is, the cross is a symbol of sacrifice. And when we are admonished to pick up our cross and be self-sacrificial, it's not something that we put on. It's something that we wear all the time. It's something that is always there. And I know very few followers that sacrifice. I know very few followers that sacrifice. It is me. It is mine first, and Christ and church and others get our hand-me-downs. The early church sacrificed. They sacrificed. And for us as a people to reach our community, to reach our friends and neighbors, we're going to have to sacrifice some. We're going to have to do some things that are maybe not very pretty. We're going to have to humble ourselves and mow somebody's yard. We're going to have to humble ourselves and help the person on the job instead of kicking them when they're down. We're going to have to reach out to the drug addict. We're going to have to get a hold of the thief and love on them. Those that need Christ. It saddened me this week. I heard a pastor speaking, and he said he got this letter in the mail. And he said someone, it was one of his members. He said, they sent me this letter and said, I brought my family to set in a holy sanctuary. He said, and as I was coming in the door, there was people smoking out front. And he said, I didn't know how to unpack that. He said, and I wrote back on this letter and on his email that he had sent me. And he said, that's all right. It was probably staff. I don't know who smokes and who don't in this room. I don't care. But I can tell you that the folks that maybe need Jesus, they're liable to be smoking something other than a cigarette in a parking lot. And that's the folks that you want in your facility. We get sometimes so wrapped up in our self-righteous little envelope and we think, oh my, that person is doing something that I just don't think it should be. When as a servant, we ought to be reaching out instead of pushing away. The cross is a symbol of sacrifice. If I have any money left, if I have any time left, if I have anything I don't need to do, I'll come to church on Sunday. And if I don't have all these activities planned on Wednesday, then I'll try to make it. That's not sacrifice. Someday, you'll come to realize all the empire that you're building, all the junk that you've worked so hard for, depreciates. You'll find out someday, that house will fall in around you if you don't keep it up. You'll find out someday those activities didn't amount to much. You'll find out someday, because just one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last eternally. The people that you reach with the gospel that you'll see in heaven. I got to spend a couple hours with an old friend from the late 70s last night, and we just talked about what happened back in the good old days. That's good, and I'm glad to reminisce, but I'm not excited about the good old days. I want to know what God's got for me in the future and what God's going to do now and to see what God's going to build in this day and age. Sacrifice. Now you listen. I've lost some hair. And a few that I have is gray. Well, okay. All of them are gray. Which means I've got a little bit of experience when it comes to what I'm getting ready to tell you. I'm not telling you not to enjoy life. I'm not telling you not to go on vacations. And I'm not telling you not to have fun. And I'm not telling you not to have nice things, and I'm not telling you not to strive for excellence. That would be hypocritical, obviously. What I am telling you is when a crisis of belief comes in your life, and believe you me, it will come. None of us are immune from it. If you are not in a storm today, watch out, one's coming. And if you just got out of one, there's another one on the way. But here's where I'm going with this. You're going to lose a loved one. Someone that is near and dear to you. You're going to hear someday that you may have cancer. You're going to hear someday that you have a tumor. You're going to hear someday that there's a disease in a family member. You're going to hear someday that your child has been arrested. Your children will disappoint you someday. If you don't believe me, go ask my mother. They're going to disappoint you. Your health will go to pot someday, maybe sooner than later. You're going to lose a job. You're going to relapse if you're an addict sitting here this morning. What that simply means is you are going to disappoint you. It's going to happen. And you better be standing on solid ground when that crisis of belief happens to you. You better be to the place that you know by assurance that Jesus Christ is your Savior and heaven's your home, and all that happens to you will work out for good someday. It may not be very good what's going on today, but all things work together for good to them that love God and them that are called according to His purpose. What's that mean? To those that are saved and serving. All things work together for good. And God has a plan that's bigger than your little situation that's going to happen. To your marriage that's falling apart. To your job that's gone to pot. To your family that's just in turmoil. God's got a plan. He'll work through it to those that are called according to His purpose. Saved and serving. You better be grounded. You better be growing in your faith. And now you say, well, yeah, you talk to my mom and dad. I'm talking to teenagers in this room. That you're self-medicating. You're already going down a road of alcohol and drugs and pot and sex. It does not satisfy long term. I know because I've got the gray hairs to prove what I'm saying. You better ground yourself in Christ. You better get yourself in a church where you can grow your faith. You better be to the place that you are taking your next steps and that you're attending church regularly and you're learning and you're getting stronger. And you've got to get to the place, it's not I. not my agenda. It's not me, my I. It's not I, but Christ. Because there's days in people's lives that are sitting in this room and those of us that are standing here before you that I have to make myself get a hold of my left leg and say, get your dead rear end out of bed and put it on the floor. And take my right leg and pick it up and set it out on the floor. Because you just don't want to go on some days. It's too big. It's too much. All of us have those crises of belief. And they may seem trivial, what some person's going to you, but it's big to them. It's big to the teenager that the boyfriend broke up. The girlfriend broke up. It's big to the person that has depression or anxiety. It's big to the person whose mom or dad is sick. It's big to the person whose child is locked up. It's big to the person who's going through a divorce. It's big to the person that lost their job. And the way through the storm is not I. It's not I. It's not I. And you better be understanding and getting to the place that you understand what Galatians 2:20 says. My life, the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Because therein lies the strength in knowing a God that has your best interest at heart. He's got your back and He will sustain you and comfort you when the storms of life hit. Christ gave Himself for us, and until you learn that simple truth of giving yourself and sacrifice and living for others, you cannot fully understand how or why you're as miserable as you are. So I don't know that I'm miserable. Yeah, you are. You know you are. You want to know what is wrong with our country? You want to know what is wrong with our homes? We've drifted from the principles of this book and save people, serving people, and loving people, and reaching people. And you really don't know true happiness and success until you become about, or your life becomes about saved, secure, and serving others. You don't know how you serve Christ? So, yeah, I sing and glorify Him, or I preach and people hear me. It's not about having a microphone. It's not about having a pulpit. It's about serving others. Christ was a servant. You do it on the job. It's not about being involved as much in church as it is involved in life. Ministry's everywhere. It's outside these four walls, not inside these four walls. It's about reaching lost people with the gospel. It's about being a Christian on the job. It's about putting your hand over your mouth instead of being judgmental and condescending. It's about praying for that person and loving on them instead of kicking them. I was standing with somebody out in the foyer the other day, and we was talking about something, and it just hit me. You know what salt and light does? It doesn't have a voice. Salt and light doesn't have... We're called to be salt and light to the world. It's not all the time speaking and criticizing and condemning and being judgmental. It's just being a Christian and being seen and loving and being a servant. Save people, serve people. And they don't have to have a job in church or a title or a position or their will being exhorted on the people. Save people, serve people. And I'll close with a question. Are you miserable? Are you lonely? Are you depressed? Are you empty? Are you self-medicating? Are you on drugs? Are you on alcohol? Are you stressed? Are you living loose? Are you selfish? Are you overindulged? Is your life all about instant gratification? Got to have it and got to have it now. Are you in debt? Is it all about me? Is there a need in your life to simplify? Is it a need to downsize? Is there a need to confess and be open and transparent and have a conversation with your family, have a conversation with your wife, have a conversation with your husband, have a conversation with your parent, teenager, that you're succumbing to peer pressure? Is there a need in your life to maybe have a conversation with the boss at work? Is there a conversation that needs to be had with your banker? I don't know. But last and not least, is there a conversation that you need to have with God? You hear this. Christ gave for me and for you. He didn't come to get something from us. He came to give something to us. Is that what our lives are about? Servants? He wants you to be happy. Christianity's not supposed to be about, oh, I can't do that, and I can't do this, and I wish I could do that, and I wish I had this. That's not happiness, folks. The happiest people I know are those that are giving of themselves. I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about serving. Involved somewhere. They don't have to be asked to do something. They see a need. They're observant. And they just take care of it. And it's not just at church to be seen. It's in their neighborhoods. It's in their communities. It's on the job. It's everywhere they go. Everywhere they go, they're serving because that's what Christians are called to do. Save people, serve people. We as a society have gotten to the place that we have swallowed hook, line, and sinker our cultural philosophy that comes from the enemy and hell itself. That happiness is found in getting, not giving. And that happiness is found in our stuff. And happiness is found in having power and might and getting things our way. That is just simply not the truth. I want to look at Galatians 2:21. We look at 2:20 and we quote it all the time. But I want to look at 2:21 and 3:1. It says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, your list, then Christ died in vain. You got a list, things to do, you want to be, all about me. Are you making it about the law? Because if you are, Christ died in vain. Look at 3:1. Oh, foolish Galatians. That's not Chesapeake he's talking to. Yeah, I understand. We're talking a couple thousand years ago. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? We swallowed hook, line, and sinker culturally in society and in our churches. That it's all about me. When what defines Christianity the best is it's not about me. It's about Christ. Not I, but Christ. I challenge you this morning to take your next step. You say, well, what is my next step? I don't know. You know. Are you saved this morning? Have you ever trusted Christ? That's the first step. Knowing heaven's your home. You say, well, what's my next step? You need to be baptized. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian, you've never been baptized. You've got to take your next step. The next step in the journey of life is baptism. Maybe your next step is, I was saved and baptized, but I don't have a clue. I feel I'm lost as Hogan's goat. Then you need to get security and understand assurance of your salvation. You say, well, I don't know if what I did. I just raised my hand maybe here one Sunday morning and you've talked to me and I'm not sure. Take your next step. Join a church. So I don't like this church. Go find one you do and join. Join a church somewhere. Get involved. Because that's where happiness is. In saved people serving people. Let's stand.